Wonderful Zita Zenda. What am I doing? Just saying hey and welcome to more.
Okay, this one?
Okay. Gonna read a little bit of blurbs about Adrienne Rich after, these were after she passed, on March 30th. From the book section of the New York Times. Beyond the anger, American poets rarely become public figures, and those who do, Allen Ginsberg, Robert Frost, usually pay a price for it. Sometimes that price is measured in a temporary decline in their literary reputation. Other poets find fame hard to forgive. But more often, it's a simple matter of becoming papered over with expectations. The more the public looks at a poet, the harder she becomes to see. So it would be good to remember that while Adrienne Rich, who died on March 30th, was indeed an inspiring cultural force, she was at bottom a writer of poems, and the defiant political stance for which she became famous are entirely consistent with that identity and its long American heritage. After following in the footsteps of her mostly male poetic models and writing a prim, formal, cautious sort of poem, Miss Rich arrived at her true style with Snapshots of a Daughter-in-Law in 1963. In that collection and the books that came afterward, her forms relaxed, her voice gained a new, often furious register, and her societal concerns became specific rather than blurred by the indirections of the period style.
The ringing, defiant poetry of Adrienne Rich articulated the frustrations of women who came of age along clipped paths in the 1940s and 50s, only to discover in the 60s and 70s the extent of their longing to tear up the grass. Her voice resounds three generations on. From her 1963 poem, Snapshots of a Daughter-in-Law, a modernist collage in which careless references to women's lives from Horace, Diderot, Eliot, and Shakespeare are recast in tight, furious stanzas about domestic confinement, to her expansive later poems that elaborate the love between two women. Rich continually stretched categories of feminine identity. She was an explorer, diving into the wreck, as the title of one of her most famous poems has it, and will be read tonight too. To help us find what is naked and unencumbered in ourselves, the wreck and not the story of the wreck, the thing itself and not the myth. You know, everyone's dying. People die every day, and poets die every day. And we don't always acknowledge them, so I think it's so rich that we're doing this right now. So, you know, she was a feminist, she was an activist, she brought to light many causes that people were not necessarily talking about, so this is for Adrienne. Okay, so let's begin this night. Before we begin, we have this book that we're going to be, it's a prize actually, called Diving into the Wreck, and there's going to be a poem. Well, this is perfect because we have Patricia Eakins reading Diving into the Wreck from this book. Please welcome Patricia to the stage.
Diving into the Wreck by Adrienne Rich. First, having read the Book of Myths and loaded the camera and checked the edge of the knife blade, I put on the body armor of black rubber, the absurd flippers, the grave and awkward mask. I am having to do this not like Cousteau with his assiduous team aboard the sun-flooded schooner, but here alone. There is a ladder. The ladder is always there, hanging innocently close to the side of the schooner. We know what it is for, we who have used it. Otherwise, it is a piece of maritime floss, some sundry equipment. I go down, rung after rung, and still the oxygen immerses me. The blue light, the clear atoms of our human air. I go down. My flippers cripple me. I crawl like an insect down the ladder, and there is no one to tell me when the ocean will begin. First the air is blue, and then it is bluer, and then green, and then black. I am blacking out, and yet my mask is powerful. It pumps my blood with power. The sea is another story. The sea is not a question of power. I have to learn alone to turn my body without force in the deep element. And now it is easy to forget what I came for among so many who have always lived here, swaying their crenellated fans between the reefs. And besides, you breathe differently down here. I came to explore the wreck. The words are purposes. The words are maps. I came to see the damage that was done and the treasures that prevail. I stroke the beam of my lamp slowly along the flank of something more permanent than fish or weed. The thing I came for, the wreck, and not the story of the wreck, the thing itself and not the myth, the drowned face always staring toward the sun, the evidence of damage worn by salt and sway into this threadbare beauty, the ribs of the disaster curving their assertion among the tentative haunters. This is the place, and I am here. The mermaid whose dark hair streams black, the merman in his armored body. We circle silently about the wreck. We dive into the hold. I am she. I am he, whose drowned face sleeps with open eyes, whose breasts still bear the stress, whose silver, copper, vermeil cargo lies obscurely inside barrels, half wedged and left to rot. We are the half-destroyed instruments that once held to a course, the water-eaten log, the fouled compass. We are, I am, you are, by cowardice or courage, the one who find our way back to this scene, carrying a knife, a camera, a book of myths in which our names do not appear.
Thank you, Patrizia. I wrote down, we are the half-destroyed instruments. Are you in it? We are devouring her. Next up, we have Peter Martin. He will be reading Fantasia for Elvira Chate. Yeah. Let's welcome Peter.
Patricia Brody, who selected this poem, couldn't make it tonight. She sends her greetings. The poem starts with an author's parenthetical statement before it gets to the real poem. Fantasia for Elvira Shatayev, leader of a women's climbing team, all of whom died in a storm on Lennon Peak, August 1974. Later, Shatayev's husband found and buried the bodies. The cold felt cold until our blood grew colder. Then the wind died down and we slept. If in this sleep I speak, it's with a voice no longer personal. I want to say with voices. When the wind tore our breath from us at last, we had no need of words. For months, for years, each one of us had felt her own yes, growing in her, slowly forming as she stood at windows, waited for trains, mended her rucksack, combed her hair. What we were to learn was simply what we had up here as out of all words, that yes gathered its forces, fused itself, and only just in time to meet a no of no degrees, the black hole sucking the world in. I feel you climbing toward me, your cleated boot soles leaving their geometric bite, colossally embossed on microscopic crystals, as when I trailed you in the Caucasus. Now I am further ahead than either of us dreamed anyone would be. I have become the white snow packed like asphalt by the wind. The women I love, lightly flung against the mountain. That blue sky, our frozen eyes, unribboned through the storm. We could have stitched that blueness together like a quilt. You come, I know this, with your love, your loss, strapped to your body, with your tape recorder, camera, ice pick, against advisement, to give us burial in the snow and in your mind, while my body lies out here, flashing like a prism into your eyes. How could you sleep? You climbed here for yourself. We climbed here for ourselves. When you have buried us, told your story, ours does not end. We stream into the unfinished, the unbegun, the possible. Every cell's core of heat pulsed out of us into the thin air of the universe. The armature of rock beneath these snows, this mountain which has taken the imprint of our minds through changes elemental and minute, as those we underwent to bring each other here, choosing ourselves, each other, and this life, whose every breath and grasp and further foothold is somewhere still enacted and continuing. In the diary, I wrote, "Now we are ready, and each of us knows it. I have never loved like this. I have never seen my own forces so taken up and shared and given back. After the long training, the early sieges, we are moving almost effortlessly in our love." In the diary, as the wind began to tear at the tents over us, I wrote, "We know now we have always been in danger, down in our separateness, and now up here together, but till now, we had not touched our strength." In the diary, torn from my fingers, I had written, "What does love mean? What does it mean to survive? A cable of blue fire ropes our bodies burning together in the snow. We will not live to settle for less. We have dreamed of this all of our lives." Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Next, let's welcome Madeline Ardenberg, who will be reading Power and Orion.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Good. Power. Living in the earth deposits of our history. Today, a backhoe divulged out of a crumbling flank of earth. One bottle amber perfect, 100-year-old cure for fever or melancholy, a tonic for living on this earth in the winters of this climate. Today, I was reading about Marie Curie. She must have known she suffered from radiation sickness, her body bombarded for years by the element she had purified. It seems she denied to the end the source of the cataracts on her eyes, the cracked and suppurating skin of her finger ends till she could no longer hold a test tube or a pencil. She died a famous woman, denying her wounds. Denying her wounds came from the same source as her power. Next one is Orion. Far back when I went zigzagging through tamarack pastures, you were my genius, you my cast iron Viking, my helmed lionheart king in prison. Years later now, you're young, my fierce half-brother. Staring down from that simplified west, your breast open, your belt dragged down by an old-fashioned thing, a sword, the last bravado you won't give over, though it weighs you down as you stride, and the stars in it are dim and maybe have stopped burning. But you burn, and I know it, as I throw back my head to take you in. An old transfusion happens again. Divine astronomy is nothing to it. Indoors I bruise and blunder, break faith, leave ill enough alone, a dead child born in the dark. Night cracks up over the chimney, pieces of time, frozen geodes come showering down in the grate. A man reaches behind my eyes and finds them empty. A woman's head turns away from my head in the mirror. Children are dying my death and eating crumbs of my life. Pity is not your forte. Calmly you ache up there, pinned aloft in your crow's nest, my speechless pirate. You take it all for granted, and when I look you back, it's with a star-like eye shooting its cold and egotistical spear where it can do least damage. Breath deep, no hurt, no pardon out here in the cold with you, you with your back to the wall. And now, my poem, Covered. How can you say we are sisters, you ask me? Sister, we are both covered toe to head, eyes left exposed to see what is done to us, to our world. I in my dusk mask and hood, you in your burqa. Are we not both covered because of the eagles who have flown off with our wings, who patrol our sex? The burqa was my birth cowl, you tell me. Sister, I know that my face covering is temporary, keeping out ash and chemicals unleashed by hate on 9/11, yet the mask that is my face is always there. Long ago, I came out of the dark, threw off my long navy pleated skirt, white blouse with Peter Pan collar, bared my legs and thighs, chaos. Cars careened, bicyclists bumped into buses, strolling men turned, followed me, stored my image to play over and over. What is imagined under your shroud has tied a country in knots, so inflamed their men that only cloth engulfing you could put out their burning. I too know the power of flesh, have uncovered it to gain favor. I've played the pawn, twisted my feet onto spikes, flaunting my calves and buttocks, until I learned that gifts received for the external invade your soul, extract payment. I am not a naked devil. You are not a cover devil. We have both dreamt of coming back as men. We have both sworn, if I were a man, I've been learning to break down the door between men and women, woman and woman, replace these dreams with ones of being more of a woman, the skin over my heart and mind becoming transparent, the better to see you, my sister.
How wonderful when we can create a poem because we're so inspired by what we're reading. Thank you, Madeline. Let's welcome Kim Kalesti, and she will be reading For the Record.
Thank you very much. As always, I enjoy discovering new poets, poems, and especially for the female, the women poet. I chose this one because it was something that I felt very close to. In fact, some of the poetry perhaps was written, you know, many years ago, but it seems like things don't really seem to change that much. For the record, the clouds and the stars didn't wage this war. The brooks gave no information. If the mountains spewed stones of fire into the river, it was not taking sides. The raindrop faintly swaying under the leaf had no political opinions. And if here and there a house filled with backed up raw sewage or poisoned those who live there with slow fumes over years, the houses were not at war, nor did the tinned up buildings intend to refuse shelter to homeless old women and roaming children. They had no policy to keep them roaming or dying. No, the cities were not the problem. The bridges were nonpartisan. The freeways burned, but not with hatred. Even the miles of barbed wire stretched around crouching temporary huts, designed to keep the unwanted at a safe distance, out of sight, even the boards that had to absorb year upon year, so many human sounds, so many depths of vomit, tears, slow soaking blood, had not offered themselves for this. The trees didn't volunteer to be cut into boards, nor the thorns for tearing flesh. Look around at all of it and ask whose signature is stamped on the orders traced in the corner of the building plans. Ask where the illiterate, big-bellied women were, the drunks and crazies, the ones you fear most of all. Ask where you were. 1983. Am I a victim? From which Adrian's poems speak? Caught up in old-fashioned love affairs, abused, misused. I tell myself, you put yourself there in those not so fair circumstances, yet is it our fault? How we are and how we're treated? Or are we victims of society? Now hearing the words, the rich words, the words, the rich words of Adrian, am I seeing, understanding the truth? Thank you, Adrian Rich, for your honest prose, and thank you for your transforming words in poem.
Thank you, Kim Kalesti. Next up, we have Joshua Mander, who will be reading In Those Years and Deadwood. Try to use this mic. I know it's got to go up.
Okay. Turn the...
Unlike a roadie, that's great. That is actually Dreamwood, but I made the typo.
Oh.
In those years, people will say, we lost track of the meaning of we, of you. We found ourselves reduced to I. And the whole thing became silly, ironic, terrible. We were trying to live a personal life, and yes, that was the only life we could bear witness to. But the great dark birds of history screamed and plunged into our personal weather. They were headed somewhere else, but their beaks and pinions drove along the shore through the rags of fog where we stood saying, I.
Thank you.
Every writer goes through the process of sitting at the table, and this is what this is about. Dreamwood. In the old, scratched, cheap wood of the typing stand, there is a landscape. Vain, which only a child can see, or a child's older self. A poet. A woman dreaming when she should be typing the last report of the day. If this were a map, she thinks a map laid down to memorize because she might be walking it. It shows ridge upon ridge fading into haze desert. Here and there a sign of aquifers and one possible watering hole. If this were a map, it would be the map of the last age of her life. Not a map of choices, but a map of variations on the great one choice. It would be the map by which she could see the end of touristic choices, of distances blued and purpled by romance, by which she would recognize that poetry isn't revolution by a way of knowing why it must come. If this cheap, mass-produced wooden stand from Brooklyn Union Gas Company, mass-produced yet durable, being here and now is what it is, a dream map, so obdurate, so plain. She thinks the material and the dream can join, and that is the poem, and that is the last report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up we have the other host of this fabulous event, Zita Zenda, who will be reading Regardless, Fox, and Messages.
God, this is all sounding so good, isn't it? Regardless. An idea declared itself between us, clear as a washed wine glass, that we'd love. Regardless of manifestos I wrote or signed, my optimism of the will, regardless your wincing at manifestos, your practice of despair you named anarchism, an idea we could meet somewhere else. A road straggling unmarked through ice plant toward an ocean, heartless as eternity. Still hungry for freedom, I walked off from glazed documents, becalmed passions, time of splintering and sawdust, pieces lying still. I was not myself, but I found a road like that. It straggled. The ocean still looked like eternity. I drew it on a napkin, mailed it to you. On your hands you wear work gloves stiffened in liquids your own body has expressed. What stiffens hardest? Tears? Blood? Urine? Sweat? The first drops from the penis? Your glove then meets my hand. This is our meeting. Which of us has gone farthest? To meet you like this, I've had to rise from love in a room of green leaves larger than my clitoris or my brain, in a climate where the winter never precisely does or does not engrave its name on the window pane, while the Pacific lays down its right of way to the other side of the world. To a table where singed manifestos curl back crying to be reread. But can I even provoke you, joking, or in tears? You, in long stiffened gloves, still protector of despair? I'm melting up here. Okay. Messages. I love the infinity of these silent spaces, dark blue shot with death rays, but only a short distance. Keep, of course, water and batteries, antibiotics. Always look at California for the last time. We weren't birds, were we, to flutter past each other? But what were we meant to do, standing or lying down together on the bare slope where we were driven? The most personal feelings become historical. Keep your hands knotted deep inside your sweater while the instruments of force are more credible than beauty inside a glass paperweight dust swirls and settles. Manzanar. Where was the beauty anyway when we shouldered past each other? Where is it now in the hollow lounge of the grounded airline where the cameras for the desoling project are being handed out, each of us instructed to shoot the other naked? If you want to feel the true time of our universe, put your hand over mine on the stainless pelvic rudder. No, here. Sometimes the most impassive ones will shudder. The infinity of these spaces comforts me, simple textures falling open like a sweater. I don't know about this one. This one, Gordon, confuses me a little bit. Fox. I needed Fox. Badly I needed. A vixen for the long time none had come near me. I needed recognition from a triangulated face, burnt yellow eyes fronting the long body, the fierce of sacrificial tail. I need a history of Fox, briars of legend. It was said she had run through. I was in want of Fox. And the truth of briars she had to have run through. I craved to feel on her pelt. If my hands could even slide past, or her body slide between them, sharp truth, distressing, surfaces of fur, lacerated skin calling legend to account, a vixen's courage in vixen's terms. For a human animal to call for help on another animal is the most riven, the most revolted cry on earth. Come a long way down. Go back far enough, it means tearing and torn, endless and sudden. Back far enough, it blurts into the birth yell of the yet-to-be human child pushed out of a female, the yet-to-be woman.
I feel a little like a yet-to-be woman right now. I think I feel like that every day. Zita, thank you so much. You're hot. It's hot. After this reader, we're going to have a short intermission, and then we'll continue on with some more readers. So let's welcome Chris Brandt up here with Tonight, No Poetry Will Serve, Transparencies, and Ballad of the Poverties.
You know, Kim mentioned how amazing it is that some things never change. So in that spirit, I want to make a shameless plug for some dear friends of mine who are putting on The Beggar's Opera from 1728. And it is amazing how things never change. I think it's a play Adrienne would have loved. And also, I said I was going to read Transparencies, but I think perhaps it is a poem better read on the page than heard. So instead of that, I want to tell you about the one time that I met Adrienne. I was teaching at the Women's Max Joint up in Bedford Hills. And I asked Grace Paley to come and talk to the women. And I knew Grace would say yes. And I had heard that Adrienne was in town. So I asked a mutual acquaintance if perhaps she might consent to come out. And the next thing I knew, I got a call from Adrienne. Of course, I'll be there. When is it? When do you want me? Anything, anytime. And I was amazed. And then she came. And she was at that time suffering severely from her rheumatoid arthritis. And she was obviously in great pain, but she came, and as soon as she began reading and talking to the women, her face transformed. There was no pain left there. Not her own personal pain anyway. Perhaps the pain of the world, but not hers. Tonight, no poetry will serve. Saw you walking barefoot, taking a long look at the new moon's eyelid. Later, spread, sleep fallen, naked in your dark hair, asleep but not oblivious of the unslept, unsleeping elsewhere. Tonight, I think no poetry will serve. Syntax of rendition. Verb pilots the plane. Adverb modifies action. Verb force feeds noun. Submerges the subject. Noun is choking. Verb disgraced goes on doing. Now, diagram the sentence. Ballade of the Poverties, for Jim and Arlene Scully, and with gratitude to Francois Villon and Galway Canal. This is one of her very late poems. I think it's one of the very last ones she wrote. There's the poverty of the cockroach kingdom and the rust-brown toilet bowl. The poverty of to steal food for the first time. The poverty of to mouth a penis for a paycheck. The poverty of sweet charity ladling soup for the poor who must always be there for that. There's the poverty of the swollen belly, shamed, poverty of the diploma mill, the ballot that goes nowhere. Princes of predation, let me tell you, there are poverties and there are poverties. There's the poverty of cheap luggage bursting open at immigration, and the poverty of matched luggage insured and stolen. The poverty of bored sex, of tormented sex, the poverty of checkbook worry, the poverty of the dumpster dive, the poverty of the pond horn, the poverty of the retching cough, the poverty pushing the sheeted gurney, the poverty cleaning up the puke, the poverty of the pavement artist, the poverty passed out on the pavement. Princes of finance, you who have not lain there, there are poverties and there are poverties. There is the poverty of hand to mouth and door to door, and the poverty of stories patched up to sell there. There's the poverty of the child thumbing the interstate and the poverty of the bride enlisting for war. There's the poverty of treatments, who can afford? And the poverty of how would you ever end it? There's the poverty of the switchblade fisted in pocket, the poverty of the blown up village, princes of weaponry who have never tasted war. There are poverties and there are poverties. There's the poverty of wages wired for the funeral you can't get to, the poverty of the salary cut. There's the poverty of day labor offered silently on the curb, the poverty of the no-contact prison visit. There's the poverty of yard sale scrapings spread and rejected, the poverty of eviction, bed and bedding out on street. Prince, let me tell you, who will never learn through words, there are poverties and there are poverties. You who have traveled by private jet like a housefly buzzing with the other flies of plundered poverties, princes, courtiers who will never learn through words, here is a mirror you can look into. Take it, it's yours.
Thank you, Chris Brandt, for that. We're gonna take a short break. I wanna thank you, a 10-minute break. Thank you to all the readers who've read thus far. Please stick around. We have many more to come.